Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host, and I'd like to just say thank you again to BBS Radio, Don Newsom, and Seth over there for giving us this great platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood. And speaking of Hollywood, I have a really great guest with me tonight who's right in the heartbeat of Hollywood and all the things that make it tick. His name is Seth Colton, and tonight's topic is moving on up in his own way in Hollywood, and that's what we're going to talk about with Seth tonight. His website address, Be Mrs. Internet Radio, is www.virtualchannelnetwork.com, and that's where you'll find out what Seth is up to. It's www.virtualchannelnetwork.com. That's almost as long as my website at Guardian Angel Management. So what I'd like to do is give you a bit of background on Seth. I've known Seth for a while now. He's a wonderful person with a great heart. And what we're going to talk about this hour is only a thumbnail snapshot of what's coming for this person who's on a quantum leap in his journey of who knows what Seth will create. I have a very good idea about that, though. He was born in and raised in beautiful Marin County, California, just a few miles north of San Francisco. And he knew at an early age that acting was his truest passion. And when he moved to Los Angeles, he was so full of hope, yet void of experience. And before he would make it as an actor, he knew that he had to first make it as a human being. You're going to love this guy.
Katie, I love you too.
Oh, the past 15 years have been about learning and learning the hard way. Every seeming failure has become a blessed opportunity to grow wildly, both personally and professionally. As far as Seth's acting career is concerned, he decided that he needed to learn about the business of the business, which is so important, and started working for a talent agency. And his thirst for insider knowledge grew, and he began working in the casting offices of such shows as Nash Bridges and CSI Miami. He learned so much more than he thought was possible and wanted to give back to the struggling actors who did not have the ability to learn from the inside out, and formed a group called the Industry RSVP, which allowed actors to come to seminars and learn from top industry professionals for free, which I was one of the guests that night, and it was awesome. Seth was an amazing host. Industry RSVP caught the eye of Gary Marsh, who is the owner of Breakdowns Express, which is the heart and soul of casting in Los Angeles, Canada, New York, anywhere that there's any kind of entertainment industry. Gary Marsh and his Breakdowns Express is how people find out what's being cast, what talent people are looking for, and it's just a very, very important part of the entertainment industry. And I will have Gary Marsh on the show one of these weeks as well. He's a very busy man. But I'm going to get him to sit still for about 55 minutes and bring him on. Seth is no longer doing these seminars for free. So after he caught the eye of Gary Marsh, he and Gary developed the Virtual Channel Network, which is the email and the website address that I gave you. It's virtualchannelnetwork.com. So go ahead and type that in and go there if you can. It's www.virtualchannelnetwork.com. And it takes the heartbeat of the industry that he developed through RSVP, all the valuable lessons that he learned from that time with Industry RSVP, the seminars for free for actors, and he puts it before a worldwide audience now on the Virtual Channel Network. Some of the guests on the Virtual Channel Network include casting directors John Levy, who is the casting director of ER, Mark Teschner, who's an amazing, authentic person, just as John Levy is, who cast General Hospital, and a very fine actor himself. Mike Fenton, who cast E.T. and Indiana Jones, as well as talent agent Harry Gold, who was the agent of my son Kaelin for a long time, and he's also the founder of TalentWorks. Still acting, Seth has finished writing his first television show and is out pitching it to major networks, which is really fun when you believe in what you're doing. Seth still looks back on his first hopeful days in L.A. with fondness, and looks forward to living with that kind of hope again, and it sounds like he is. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Seth Colton. Hi, Seth.
Hey, Katie. I'm really happy to be talking to you on your show. I'm not sure if you're aware what a big fan of yours I am.
Oh.
And the impact that you've actually had on my life and my career, which I'll get into during the interview.
Oh, how nice. Wow, so, thank you for saying that.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, I'm one of the things that you've just said about me really is something that I think about daily, which is, you know, living with the same hope that I had when I first came out here. You know, where I'm from, I was easily booking plays and commercials we had out there. And, of course, like most actors who come to L.A. believing in themselves, I was certain that the moment I landed in Los Angeles, Steven Spielberg would be knocking on my door.
Right, right.
And I don't think anyone gave him the right address.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
Didn't give him mine either.
Oh man. Nobody. He doesn't have a good assistant, that guy.
Yeah.
I spent the first year really doing everything quote-unquote wrong. But the upside to that was every morning I was getting up really believing that I was going to make it big.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing better than that type of belief and that hope. And now that I've learned to, you know, I've been here for 15 years. I've worked in many parts of the entertainment industry. I know a lot more about the business of the business. And I will succeed the moment I figure out how to match my knowledge with my belief and my hope, you know, to have something to drive me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that's the key to success in any part of this industry.
To have your passion.
Oh, yeah, and to know it. As hard as it is, there's so many ups and downs. There's so many yeses that turn into maybes, that turn into nos, that it's real easy to, you know, lose sight of why you're here and how happy this business makes you.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a chore sometimes, in my opinion, to mm-hmm. you know, keep that in mind and keep living with that.
Yes. So you're doing now a great service for casting directors and agents and managers and Breakdowns Express and predominantly actors. It's just really wonderful how you've taken your own challenges and hardships and just been humbled by them to the point where you want to go inside of these casting offices, agencies, and management companies, find out the real deal, the real scoop, and bring that out to the masses of actors and out to the people who don't have that opportunity, as you said. And I think that is so wonderful. And that's one of the things that I'm endeavoring to do with Spiritual Hollywood, because I believe that Hollywood is, I believe myself, the one way, biggest way we can raise consciousness globally, like in a heartbeat, because a message can go around the world in less than a nanosecond with the technology that we have today. So, you know, there's a great responsibility for what it is we're saying and what it is we're putting out there. And the programming now that you and Gary Marsh are developing for the Virtual Channel Network is just so pure, and your intentions are so to be of service that it's, you know, I've got my jaw hanging open about that. I mean, you have grown so much, I believe, so much more than you're even aware of.
Oh, that makes me feel
yeah,
good.
Because I look back, and I remember when you were in touch with me to be one of your guests for the industry RSVP, mm-hmm. which was really an incredible, memorable night for me, and you had some really great actors there, and I actually signed a few of them.
Oh, I didn't know that. Awesome.
I did. And the thing is that you provided that to the actors for free, and what you're doing now with the Breakdowns Express is providing that same service to actors who all they need to do is click on a link and they get an interview. And I know you have me scheduled upcoming to
yes,
interview a cast
this
director.
Is going to be a trade-off. I'm on your show now,
yep.
and you come onto mine this weekend, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I am as well. And also, you're honoring me to be the guest of honor for the management spotlight. I believe that's what it's called. And I'm just so happy about that because, like you, there's a lot of us out here who are outside of the consciousness closet, and a lot more of us are coming. For instance, the casting director I'm having as my guest on your show to interview Sunday is Renita of Renita Casting, who has actually developed an affirmations CD for actors to listen to before their auditions.
Which we actually have available here at Breakdown Express in the store, I believe. Gary was just telling me about it, I think, yesterday. He's excited about that also.
Well, guess what? Renita got that idea when she was on my show with me. I said, why don't you sell it at Breakdowns Express in their store? it's a natural fit.
Cool.
So I love that Gary actually allowed that to happen, and that kind of progressive thinking is happening more and more everywhere. And Renita is just on fire to raise consciousness like I am.
Yes.
To do it in a fun and entertaining way that shows you what an opportunity life really is, and to make the most out of every single moment that we've been given. It's like, you know, we went to Agape on Sunday. And
I was there too.
Were you really?
This Sunday.
Every Sunday.
11 o'clock.
We go to
9 o'clock.
11 o'clock because Reverend Michael just doesn't worry about what time it is when it's 11 o'clock. The other two, you know, he's got to watch the schedule for the other two services. But at 11, he just goes for it, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And one thing he said is a tree is just in ecstasy all the time because it's just alive. It's alive. And, you know, my fiancé John and I hug trees constantly because they're just so alive and so ecstatic just to be alive. They're not complaining. They're not going, oh, my back hurts. They're not saying, oh, I can't pay my bills. I mean, they're just present to being alive. And that's what is the most important thing for actors and all people to remember, is the gift of life is so precious. Not to make the most of it every single moment that you can doesn't make any sense. And a lot of people don't even know that they don't know that. They don't know that they're living from a place of feeling like everyone else can have it but them. They don't know that they can have, do, and be anything they choose in this life. And you are a living example of that. And you are a role model for the actors out there for doing what you're doing. And I just want to acknowledge you for that.
I appreciate that. And I try to be. You know, when I formed Industry RSVP, my goal was really to make sure this information was available for the actors who were alive enough to want to learn and conscious enough to say it's worth taking an hour out of my time to come down there and get something. I did not want it to be about getting money, their hard-earned money, making money. And, you know, I wasn't able to sustain it for more than 2 years, but thank God for Gary Marsh, who came down, and he learned about my idea of making this available, this information available, and he felt the same way and has invested so much into the Virtual Channel Network to, you know, utilize all of his contacts and, you know, keep a staff going and get a top-notch production team to get some great shows out there. So I'm really grateful to actually be in the position that I'm in. But if you don't mind, I'd like to go back to the night that you were a guest at Industry RSVP.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a big, it was a big turning point for me, actually.
Mm.
The night that you were there, I was going through a very hard time personally.
Mm.
I was losing a friend by halfway because of the way I was living.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sad and I was depressed. And every guest who I've ever had in there has come in, and we've learned about the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
And in comes beautiful Katie Romero with her desire to not hold back.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to talk about spirituality and how to be an authentic person.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never forget the story that you told that I think about constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It was the story about your favorite watch. And have your listeners ever gotten to hear the story?
Well, I had Dan Millman on my show, and I told Dan the story because I got the watch from Dan Millman, who's the author of Peaceful Warrior.
Yeah.
That was about a year ago. So please go ahead and tell your version of it.
This is my version of the story. It might be different than yours.
Uh-huh.
But the way I remember the story, and this is for all listeners who haven't heard this before and those who need a reminder, Kate was in front of a group of about 80 people, and there I was. I had just drunken myself into a stupor. I was so sad. And she looked at me and asked what was going on with me and to describe myself. And I remember I told her that my two things about myself was that I was cunning and conniving.
Ah.
And you wanted to, you know, explore a little bit more and then heard how hard I was being on myself. And this is the story that I remember you telling.
Mm-hmm.
You were given a watch by Dan Millman,
mm-hmm.
and it was your favorite watch.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the way it looked, but what it represented.
Yeah, and that here now on the face.
That's right, here now on the face. And you were on your way to a peace conference
mm-hmm.
when the watch dropped in your garage, and there was a crack on the face because of hitting the garage floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you were really torn up about it. And it really bothered you because this watch meant so much to you. Mm-hmm. And you went to the peace conference, you decided to wear it anyway, and at the peace conference, a woman approached you and told you what a beautiful watch you were wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And you instinctively started to say, wait, have you seen the scratch on the face?
Mm-hmm.
And you held yourself back and you realized, bing, bing, the golden moment, that it is so easy to get caught up in your flaws and to believe your flaws to be you,
mm-hmm.
when you actually are denying the beauty and the integrity of your wholeness and who you really are. And at that moment when you didn't say anything and then acknowledged the gift she gave you by acknowledging your beautiful watch,
mm-hmm.
you sort of reclaimed your sense of, I don't know what the word is.
Wholeness.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Did I do a good job repeating the story?
You did. You did. And what I realized on the way back from the peace conference, I was on my way back from the peace conference with Barbara Marx Hubbard to be a judge at the Elevate Film Festival,
yeah.
at the Ford Theater. And on the way back, driving, it was a very hot day. It was like 120 degrees in Ojai that day. And, you know, I was a little delirious from the heat. And what occurred to me about that whole situation with the watch, as I was looking at the watch getting to the Elevate Film Festival on time, because it was really pushing it. The schedule was tight. And so I kept looking at the watch, and I saw the crack again. And I thought, you know, I don't need to tell people my flaws any more than I needed to show that woman the crack in the face of my watch.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I got, my flaws are beautiful, just like this watch still is.
Right.
And they might be the best thing about me, because that's what makes me different. And I do recall that that was a wonderful, wonderful revelation for me. And when I shared it with Dan Millman, he was silent. He didn't have much to say. He just said that that really, really moved him, that that could happen and I could turn it into something that was such a great lesson. And anything that's happening in our lives, if you use as a metaphor the watch falling on the garage floor and breaking when I just got it out of the box, whatever's going on in your life, you can look at it like, okay, what's perfect about this? What is there about this that I'm going to be grateful for? Oh, I cannot wait to see what I can make this into. And if you take that approach, your whole perception can shift, and you'll see it as an opportunity immediately without having to wait for hindsight. And that way you can steward it in the direction you want it to go.
Absolutely.
So I'm very impressed by your memory of that story.
Well, it really meant a great deal to me, and it changed the course of the direction I was heading, because I was so busy feeling sorry for myself and feeling guilty about my actions and not liking who I was becoming,
mm-hmm.
even though I was still a fantastic, giving person with great intentions.
Mm-hmm.
It then really turned a corner to me realizing, you know what, I have flaws and there are some things I'm unhappy with, but everything is beautiful, everything's meant to be, and it led me on a course to fixing the things that I was unhappy with.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, that night will always stand out.
Wonderful. And if I could just make a comment on what you just said,
mm-hmm.
to fix the things that weren't working,
mm-hmm.
If you were to look at it from a higher place, you would see that nothing was broken.
Let me try to envision that.
Nothing was broken. It was all perfect because
right.
led you to the next thing.
Absolutely. No, you're right. It was, everything was, I was following a path that was
yes.
programmed without me being consciously aware.
But yeah.
subconsciously, I knew it.
Yes, and your knower knew it. And what you did with that was you realized that it was all perfect and that your journey simply had a bump in the road.
Absolutely.
And, you know, everybody's journey has a bump in the road. It's what you do about it that makes it a dead end or a
right.
detour
or
freeway.
You, actually. I think whether you are willing to consciously face challenges or hide from them really helps to talk about who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm proud of that lesson that I learned, and I'm proud of the role that you played in my life and in that lesson.
Wonderful. Well, you know what I'm getting from this too, Seth, is you've had so many people come in and be guest speakers at the industry RSVP, and you know, they all did a great job talking about the industry and acting and casting and producing and, you know, all of those things and management and agenting and all of that. And what I'm hearing you say is it was unique that someone came in and talked about being authentic.
Absolutely.
And spirituality.
It was the first and only time it had happened.
Wow. Well, that tells me that my fearless way of speaking is making an impact. And if I touch one person, it's worth it in this lifetime.
Wow. Absolutely.
So thank you for bringing that to my attention. And what's happening through having Spiritual Hollywood and Guardian Angel Management, I don't know if there are new listeners who don't know that I'm also a talent manager. I have 25 clients, and I just love and adore them all. They're very visionary and great leaders, and they know they're healers. They know that to be in touch with their emotions and share that with everybody in their bookings and their projects that they're doing, the more fearlessly they share their emotions, the more they're healing the people watching. And they know they're healers, and they know that this is their ministry, so to speak. And the more that you get behind that, and the more you know that, and the more you know you are being of service, the more opportunities will come to you. And any time you set your intentions in that way, the universe shows up to support it every single time, like gravity. Are you finding that to be true, Seth?
I absolutely am finding that to be true.
Yeah, Gary Marsh is proof of that.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And he's a wonderful, wonderful giving man who's offering a great service, and I love that he's adding things like this to it, and who knows how far it will go. I mean, there's limitless possibilities.
Yes, and I hope that your viewers, I mean, your listeners, and I'm sure that there are many who are not in the entertainment industry who
mm-hmm.
are gravitating to you for other reasons,
mm-hmm.
but for those of you who are in the entertainment industry or want to be in the entertainment industry, I really do welcome you to come by and go to the virtualchannelnetwork.com and look at all of our programs. They're free to watch. You can look at them on demand whenever you like. We archive all the old shows, and we have shows about casting directors and agents and managers and producers and actors and singers, really all forms of artistry in the industry.
Wonderful. And that's the virtualchannelnetwork.com,
mm-hmm.
www.virtualchannelnetwork.com.
I can never spell it either.
It's a lot of letters.
Yeah. Okay,
virtualchannelnetwork.com.
Oh, you got it. Good job.
Okay, very good. I did win the spelling bee, but not at websites. So go there and check that out, everyone. And Seth, what is this? Are you able to talk to us about the television show that you're out there pitching to
yes,
make your network?
I did. A few years ago, a little backstory on me, I don't share very often, but a few years ago, I was diagnosed with a very rare lymphoma.
Really?
And yes. It was a very scary time for me.
Wow.
And I did not know what to do. I hated researching on the internet. Everything I read on it was doom and gloom, and it scared me. And I thought I needed to add some laughter back in my life, because that's what the mission was that I was always on.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided I would form a sketch comedy group. And the same philosophy held. I wanted to make a sketch comedy group that was free for people to enjoy. I wanted as much laughter as possible. And I got together a group of fantastic actors who also shared that vision. Didn't know my personal reasons for starting it, but who could act, could make people laugh, and were willing to put the money down themselves so other people could enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. That was a great experience and really healed me. And one of the sketches on there was called Peas in a Pod.
Mm-hmm.
It was about two brothers who are at adult times in their lives decided it was time to become roommates to save money. And they're very different people, and one of the brothers discovers that in the bathroom they share, the other brother pees in the shower.
Pees in the shower,
which
right.
Which is unacceptable.
Right.
The one brother, the other brother thinks it's perfectly normal. It was one of our favorite sketches, and ultimately, Patrick Baca, who's a great casting director.
I emailed him the promo for this show.
Oh,
today.
Did you? I hope you're listening. Patrick,
yes.
I love you. He directed a short film of it, and it was his idea, thinking that the characters were viable enough and well-rounded enough and likable enough to be turned into a weekly series.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a pilot script along with my producing partner and acting partner, Scott Weatherby,
mm-hmm.
and we have just had some tremendous luck getting great meetings. I mean, I know nothing about the world of writing. I just know that I really like what we wrote,
mm-hmm.
and I started cold calling people and calling people, saying, "Hey, who do you know, and how can I do this?" And you know, we pitched for some great networks, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we still have pitch meetings coming. Nobody has bought it yet, but every pitch leads us to another pitch and another opportunity, and I'm just really excited about it.
Have you approached Endeavor Talent Agency to be the agent for?
I have called Endeavor a number of times, but I always get stuck at reception, and I've never been able to move past that.
Well, when I see you on Sunday, I will give you my contact name over there.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, because
cool.
It's, you know, the gatekeepers don't really, you know, they're there for a reason.
Yeah. That's awesome. And if you or any of your viewers want to, you know, see, we made a little promo video for the show, and that's on YouTube, and the address for that. Is it okay if I promote?
Please,
no.
Please. This is your time, Seth. You go.
Oh, I'm the bomb. It's YouTube / Peas in a Pod TV, and that's PEAS in a Pod TV.com. And that has a couple funny little 3 to 5 minute promo videos, but the synopsis and all the character descriptions are actually on our website at peasinapodtv.com. Again, PEAS in a Pod TV. The original short film was called Peas, PEES in a Pod.
Right, and was Mike Dayum, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, Mike Dayum was my roommate at the time, a very good friend of mine, and he was in the sketch comedy show when I first created that,
mm-hmm.
and he was not in Peas in a Pod, but now I remember that you did see the short film because you came to our premiere.
I came to your screening.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was not the first time we met, was it?
It may have been. I don't recall the sequence, but I do know that our paths crossed in a powerful way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I forgot. Thank you so much for coming to that and supporting me.
My pleasure. That's my job, man. I'm a manager. What can I tell you?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So, your pitch meetings are, actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I represent the interventionist from the big hit show Intervention on A&E TV.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jeff Van Vonderen. And when I met him, it was because one of my clients, who was a celebrity, whose name I will not mention, was an alcoholic, and I was getting calls from casting directors and producers and directors saying, did you know your client is blowing raspberries on the bellies of his leading ladies on the set, and that is not acceptable? And I was like, what? And then I realized that this guy was blowing raspberries on my belly too, and I was like, that's not even funny. And
just realized it?
Well, he did. When he did it to me, I thought, because I was wearing, I just come from a hike because my office was near Lake Hollywood, and I went there on my lunch breaks to have a hike. And I came back from the hike, and he was waiting at the door for me, and I was wearing a halter top, and he just blew a raspberry on my belly, and I'm like, that's really ODD, which is odd.
Yeah.
And I just sort of tried to, because he was a real funny guy and gregarious and all of that, and I just tried to let it go. Then I hear from these other people, he's doing it to other people, and I thought, this is really messed up. This is not good. And he's, you know, was about to be fired from a series that he was on. And so I called his wife, and I said, what's going on? And she finally confessed to me that, you know, she was being a good codependent enabling wife, and they were just coming to the bottoming out of her husband. And I said, we need to do something. So she agreed, and because this person was a Christian also, not only do they not supposed to be drinking, they're not going to let anyone know that they are.
Right.
Especially
isn't it like
harder.
Isn't it one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not blow on my belly?
Yes, I think that is definitely in there, and if it's not, it should be, and God is listening. so he needed special treatment because he was a Christian and he was dependent on alcohol to the point where it was coming out of his pores.
Oh, whoa.
Where if he stopped drinking that it might actually kill him because he'd become so dependent. He was drinking mouthwash in water bottles and things like that. So just to give you a sense of how desperate the situation was. So we found this person, Jeff Van Vonderen, and he flew out from Minnesota, and he trained us for 2 days on how to do an intervention. And the time came to do the intervention. There was 9 of us in the living room, and by 9 o'clock in the morning, this person was already inebriated and had just come from taking a child swimming.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, and you know, the intervention happened at just the right time. So we're all sitting around the windows and doors, so he couldn't jump out any of them, because in Jeff's experience, that happens. And each one of us read a letter that we wrote saying, here's the way your behavior is affecting my life. Here's what I expect from you now if you are to be in my life. And if you cannot do these things, then you can no longer be in my life. And being his manager, it was important that he hear that from me too. So I was a part of the intervention, and he surrendered and went to rehab that day. And the next day I called Jeff and I said, can you meet me for coffee? And he said, sure. He was still in town and he met me for coffee, and I said, you know, Jeff, you really need to have your own show, because I'm telling you, I didn't even know interventionists were out there available, and you could save so many families and lives just by having this, you know, available on TV. And I think that you should definitely have your own show. And he goes, well, I'm just some civilian from Minnesota. I don't know nothing about birth and no baby. So through a happy series of circumstances, we are now in the 5th season of intervention on A&E TV. And not only has it won the PRISM Award, which is the Art of Making a Difference, the first year it won the Presidential PRISM Award, which is the Art of Leaving a Legacy. So intervention is one of the top-rated shows on A&E TV, and I believe it's on at 10 o'clock on Monday nights, if anybody wants to watch it.
I actually hear that the show has really gotten a lot of people who have addictions problems, a lot of help. A lot of people have been recognizing themselves in the people who are on the show.
Yes.
So it's really done a lot of good.
Yes, and we were on Larry King and Oprah and, you know, all the big shows. So it got a lot of media exposure, and we
part of that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and we do follow-ups as well on some of the people interventions were done on, and many times they've gone into law enforcement, or they've gone into working at rehabs as counselors, and they're now using their own life experience, which is invaluable to help other people. And I have a quote on my email signature that says, an artist has to live before they have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
There are no shortcuts. Bobby Womack, R&B singer and songwriter. And that's the truth. So, you know, people, when they wake up, they finally wake up and they come out of the fog and the haze, and they get in touch with their emotions, which they were needing to numb out because they didn't feel strong enough to deal with whatever made them so traumatized. They're seeing that their life experience has really a lot of value in it, and it's not something to be shameful about anymore. And then they turn it around and start helping other people with it. So it sounds to me like, you know, your statement in your bio of saying that you knew you had to, before you could be an actor, you had to first become successful at being a human being. I get that you have a lot of life experience that's invaluable. You can't buy that. Really, and people who have been through hardships who just give up are throwing away the Holy Grail.
Right. Well, you know, what was funny is when I wrote that, I didn't realize that that was a quote that you had on your emails until after you replied to me on that, and then I looked back and saw that it had been there on all the other emails.
Yeah.
And I was debating about, you know, how honest I was going to be in the bio I sent you, and then I thought, I can't fake it with Katie. You right through me.
Right.
So, I knew I had to put it there, but yeah, I was really excited when I saw that on your email, because I thought, wow, you know what? We're really here connecting on the same level. I mean,
she's
telling me things I'm not even reading.
Yep, it's synchronistic, and I believe synchronicity is divinity showing off. That's a Katieism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got several comments about that, too, when I sent out your promo today, of your bio being a wonderful reference to the quote at the bottom of the email, which was the Bobby Womack quote,
mm-hmm.
of you have to live before you have something to say.
Absolutely.
And, you know, for anybody listening who's got a lot of hardship and they're feeling shame and guilt about that, know that whatever that is collateral. Whatever that is equity. Whatever that is can be spun into pure gold. And for you to take all your hardships and know that your biggest cross to bear is the greatest gift that you have.
Absolutely.
You can completely monetize that and make it the way you make your living, which is being of service to others and helping them walk through the places you've been.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more gratifying than that. And I believe that's what you're doing in, you know, offering this service with Gary Marsh to actors and even casting directors. I'm sure like to go on there and watch what each other are saying.
Absolutely. I actually get a lot of feedback from casting directors who are on there because they, unless there's an annual event, they don't often get a chance to be face to face. And sometimes the New York casting directors have never met the Los Angeles casting
right.
directors, so they absolutely love seeing that. And I love being a part of that.
Yeah, well, that's clear. And, you know, I was really thrilled to find out that you were the one behind this because I didn't know, I've been noticing the Virtual Channel Network for a long time, and I had no idea who put it together. And then when I found out it was you, I was like, wow, well, you go, boy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate all the kudos, and, you know, I feel good about it from many levels. And, again, a lot of the thanks goes back to Gary Marsh, who not only put this together, but allows me, I just think this goes back to what I learned from you a few years ago about being authentic and not hiding.
Yes.
You know, this is a job that I'm at where I also get to be an actor. So Gary does not request that I hang that up at the door and put it on the weekends. This allows me to continue learning, continue growing, and continue being myself. And going back to that, more about, you know, not hiding and not being afraid of myself since I had met you. Then after you spoke at Industry RSVP and I was going through a difficult time personally, I went and we did personal life coaching.
Yes.
Which was meaningful to me. And at the time, again, I was putting myself through my own personal hell because I wasn't letting go of the guilt I felt about manipulating and betraying a friendship that meant a lot to me.
Right.
And I haven't gotten a chance to reconcile with a friend, but you know what? It worked out perfectly because the deal is that person brought a gift to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gift of having an issue that needed to be healed, and it was haunting me for years and years and years in one form or another until I learned to heal my core issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, it goes back to just learning how to be authentic, and like you said before, everything is part of the path, and acknowledging that every lesson is a blessing, no matter how much it feels like it's a curse. The overall picture is fantastic. And if you can learn to appreciate, like you said, the burden that you're feeling, sometimes you realize it's a gift.
Yes. And if you put that at the top of your gratitude list every day, the thing that's bugging you the most, find a way to be grateful for it. It'll change the vibration and the frequency of its way of showing up in your life. If you're beating the drum of my life sucks, my life sucks, my life sucks, you're creating more of my life sucks.
Absolutely.
So if you're beating the drum of what's perfect about this life-sucking thing, then you're going to shift your vibration little by little by little until you can finally reframe it to say everything is imperfectly perfect and perfectly imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the place where you can authentically vibrate that, that's when doors open, and that's when you become the shepherd for virtualchannelnetwork.com.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I see that you've taken a YOU turn.
Thank you. That's really cool, a YOU turn.
Yeah.
And I'm pleased to announce that I will finally be, after maybe 2 years, I'm going to be bringing back Industry RSVP, but it's going to have a new mission statement, if you will.
Okay.
My goal, do you mind if I let you know about it?
Please.
I have decided to turn it into a community service project, and I am going to bring in fantastic guest speakers like yourself and say, hey, what is your favorite charity or what is your favorite cause? And then set up a volunteer day, and the actors who are going to come down to volunteer for that will then be invited to come free to your seminar and learn, you know, about something else that's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing that and also fundraisers for people in the industry who are going through a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
An agent friend of mine, Ileana Rush, Superior Talent, recently completed her chemotherapy and is having a rough time financially. She hasn't been able to work in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to have a night where Ivy Eisenberg comes down and volunteers her time, and
mm-hmm.
we're going to raise money, and we're going to send it off to Ileana Rush. And so the new RSVP will, again, be all about service and not about the almighty dollars.
That's wonderful. And just have a side note. I went to listen to Ivy Eisenberg speak one night at a casting workshop, and I invited her for her birthday to take her to a special lunch. And I took her to the Ivy restaurant for her birthday lunch because her name is Ivy.
How cute.
Yeah. And she just said, why are you doing this? This is so nice of you. And I said, because you give so much, you know, and you're important to so many people, and what you say to them matters. And when you lift them up, they just never forget you. And I just want to say thank you for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And she was like, wow. And then I gave her some coaching, and next thing I know, she's out on her own.
Oh, that was a while ago then.
Yeah.
Within a year, good for you.
Yeah, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, she was looking to really make her own statement in the industry, and I told her to go for it. She doesn't need to make any apologies or ask for permission.
You know what, I would love to have you, I know you're interviewing a casting director this weekend, but maybe I can convince you to come sometime and interview Ivy Eisenberg, and the two of you can have a dialogue about where she has been since that last conversation she
mm-hmm.
had with you, because she's doing great on her own.
Oh, yeah.
Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing some award-winning movies. She's doing great.
Yep, yep. And she was working with Paul Weber for a long time
mm-hmm.
and doing all the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica, and I believe she was doing that. And then it went over to Ulrich Dawson, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. So you just never know what's going to happen next.
Absolutely.
And the best thing that any of us can do is find a way to stay present here now, mm-hmm. to enjoy all your nows. And I know that sounds simple, and believe it or not, it is, when you just set your intention to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, people who are present, like Dr. DeMartini from The Secret, we just went to his seminar recently.
Mm-hmm.
That man is 54 years old, and he looks like he's 35.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a wrinkle on his face. His hair is not dyed. It's naturally black. He's been through just a horrendous life, and he equates it to being present. If you are present, you're going to reverse the aging process when you're present,
mm-hmm.
when you're feeling your feelings, when you're not numbing yourself out, when you're giving yourself awesome, awesome feedback about you, when you become your own best advocate, when you become your own best friend, when you treat yourself like a cherished friend, you're treating yourself that way, that's when you've learned to be present. And it does retard the aging process, if not reverse it. And, you know, nobody can tell that I'm 99 years old when they meet me.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, I agree with everything that you're saying.
Yeah. And you're helping get the message out there, too, you know, in your own way. It's all over the place.
Yeah. And, and people like yourself and some of the letters that we receive here at the Virtual Channel Network and the feedback really sort of, I think, drive that point home for me. So, I get more and more proud of the work we do every day. I want to tell you, my co-producer here at the network is a lady named Otto Wolfolk, who's also a fantastic actress and
mm-hmm.
producer, and Eric Rush is our director, and he has directing desires, feature films, and the team is amazing. I mean, it was
mm-hmm.
one of those things, like you say, divine plan. I mean, there's just no way the team could have come together by accident. It just works so well.
Right, right. There aren't any of those things.
Right. And we all hope that there's great people who can come in for us and take over our jobs the moment that our acting and directing careers take off. And I'm sure there will be.
Oh, there will be.
Yeah, the service is good enough that it'll continue without us.
Sure it will. And it's, you know, look at Saturday Night Live, for instance. Okay, a lot of those people came from the Groundlings. Now, I'm just saying,
yeah.
when you have a really great situation with great people that attracts the most creative people and fearless people out there, and they come through that place, like the Virtual Channel Network could be like that. Now, let me make my point here. I was a member of the Groundlings, and I work with some wonderful people who ended up on Saturday Night Live, like Molly Shannon. She and I were, she annoyed me to no end in class. So annoying. And now she's making a lot of money by being annoying. And, you know, I see there was a method to her madness. And she, every time she would annoy me, I'd say, would you knock it off? She's going, ah, good, good, I still got it. So, you know, people who go through a place like the Groundlings, and many of the members end up on big shows that are unforgettable and last forever, like Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. That it's that kind of a energy in one place that draws in and cranks out the most talented people. And the Virtual Channel Network is, from what I'm sensing and learning about it, that kind of a training ground. And what I'm getting at, if this is making any sense, is when it's your time to go have that series, when it's your time to go produce your show, Peas in a Pod, or many others, when it's your time to go do that, and your co-producer's time to go do what she's doing, and your director's time to go direct, then somebody wonderful will be standing by in the wings to take that place so that, that nobody misses a step.
Right.
And the best way to make other people, in my opinion, the best way to be a millionaire is to help other people be a millionaire. And there's a term called the enlightened millionaire,
mm-hmm.
where you're helping other people. See, for me, the way I want to achieve my success is by helping others achieve theirs, by showing them they have wings, they work fine, they've always been there, and all they have to do is leap, and their wings will appear on the way down. And that's what I love to teach people, is just give flying lessons. And help them understand that their wings do work fine, and we all have them. And, you know, even if they did fall and their wings didn't show up, for some reason, they're only 2 inches off the ground anyway.
Right.
And they're not even going to skin their knee.
Right.
So not to risk is the biggest risk in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and what the Virtual Channel Network is doing is taking the mystery. It demystifies the casting process. It shows actors that casting directors put their pants on one leg at a time, just
absolutely.
Like all of us.
That they're real people, and they have senses of humor, and that they love actors.
Yep.
And that, you know, it's a frustrating, hard, difficult process for everyone, not just the actor, and that they are rooting for you.
Yes. And what an actor brings into the room, Seth, and you know this very well, and I was an actress for 15 years, so when I say Steven Spielberg didn't have my address either,
mm-hmm.
I did have his address, and I wrote him a letter and told him I had the best son on the planet besides his son Max,
mm-hmm.
and that he should meet him. And he called up our agent, my son's agent, and he invited us in to meet him.
No way.
He did.
That's awesome.
And I said, why did you call us in? He said, because of the letter you wrote. I said, you must get hundreds of thousands of letters. Why did you pick mine? He said, because I believed yours.
Wow.
And I never...
That is awesome.
Yeah, true story. And I never approached him for anything because that was enough for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it told me that I have a voice that people will listen to, and the minute that I think that nobody wants to hear what I have to say is the minute I've given up.
Right.
And, you know, I used to think nobody wanted to know what I had to say, and here I am, host of a radio show, co-host of Return to Greatness, which is a TV show, which is about quantum hypnotherapy, and since I last worked with you, I've co-created something called quantum hypnotherapy with a wonderful hypnotherapist named Alex Schief. We call it QH2 because it's quantum hypnotherapy squared. You can return to your divinity, your true nature in 1 2-hour session with under hypnosis and the life coaching and the, you know, I'm an intuitive empath and I go straight to the germ.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, I can see right through you.
Absolutely.
I can see right through whoever is in front of me when they're willing to let me see. And you were willing to let me see, which is why I did see. And when people come to us, we've done 167 sessions, and we're doing a show about it now, about the transformation that takes place, and it's permanent in 1 2-hour session. And that's not a commercial. It's just saying...
Where can I see that? Where can I find that?
It's www.quantumhypnotherapy2.com.
Oh, I'm totally going to check it out.
Yeah, and it's nothing short of amazing, and we are so honored to be chosen as... as vessels to do this work through. And, oh my gosh, it gives us such vitality. We're high for 3 or 4 hours after we give a session.
How awesome.
Yeah, and when you're doing what you're meant to be doing, you can do it all day. It lights you up. You never get tired of it. You can't wait to do it again. You know, like acting.
Right.
Right? You know that high you get when you do a show and you're just like, okay, next.
Absolutely.
I want my next one.
Right.
Where's my next fix?
Well, and you're a great example of what I learned at Agape this weekend at the time slot that I went, which is that there are really people out there who everything, one task after another, feels like a burden and it gets heavier and heavier, and there's just not one more possible thing a human being can do when they have so much going on. And then there's the people like the trees who just live and react and enjoy and breathe. And you're somebody who's got so much going on with your teaching and with now the quantum hypnotherapy and your management and your life coaching, all of which are so extremely valuable. And I don't hear you complaining at all. In fact, I hear you daring to get more.
Oh, guess what else? Thank you for saying that. I've just recently been made vice president of visionary talent at Stellar Communications, which is the company that launched The Secret.
No way.
Yeah, way. And the website there is www.eisandedward-pr.com.
E-PR.com.
Yeah.
How awesome. So, is Mickey Willis working there also? I know he was.
He's not working there. We're actually starting to do some PR for Agape, for Reverend Michael Beckwith, and something you're not aware of, I don't think, is the president and CEO of Stellar Communications is my feller. He's my fiance. And
oh, no way.
Yeah, we're getting married on March 22nd at Agape by Reverend Michael Beckwith at the 11 o'clock service.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I was just asking my neighbor and good friend Carol Ann, who brought me to Agape for the first time, if Michael Beckwith does weddings, and now I know why I asked.
Yeah, well, everybody's invited. I mean, it's an open service, and we met through The Secret because I have the radio show Spiritual Hollywood. I wanted Rhonda Byrne to be on my show, and so I ended up finding this wonderful man who was the PR agent for her, and we're just so happy. We're in an upward spiral relationship. We set each other up to win. It's an amazing partnership. We call each other our God-intended sacred partner.
That's
D-I-S-P.
Cool. I'm real happy for you.
Thank you, Seth.
He's a lucky man.
Yeah, we're happy. You'll meet him on Sunday. He's also my PR guy.
Oh, good. He's going to come by.
He's my driver. He's the driver of the talent, he says.
And I promise that I will, I don't want to lead your listeners on to thinking that your show is going to be on the Virtual Channel Network this weekend. We're shooting two shows, just different shows, with Katie this weekend, and then we have to edit them and put them up. So I will let you know the air dates so you can let your people know how to watch you on the show.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm sure it's going to be fantastic.
Thank you. And those will be cut down to 10-minute segments, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we'll probably do maybe 4 or 5 6 to 10-minute segments and then air them consecutively.
Great.
Show.
That's wonderful. Little bits of Katie in a row.
Yeah.
I love it. That's great. So, Seth, we're coming up on the last couple of minutes of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour, and I'm going to invite you to reach into your heart and soul and take a look at what's there and trust yourself to say whatever you see when you look there after you take a deep breath and just look and share whatever is there with our listeners, because that is just pure gold. I invite you to do that now.
I just want to share that I, having this conversation with you on your show, I feel lighter. I feel golden, and I thank everybody who's connected with this for giving me the opportunity to connect with people of like mind, and I'm very grateful for all of you and for everything you do, Katie.
Thank you, Seth, and I'm sure that everybody listening, I think all my clients listen to the show, just to invite everybody to start making good use of the Virtual Channel Network. You know, it's free. You can see it on demand, and it's there. It's archived. Whatever you might have missed along the way, you can go to the archives and take a look at what's going on. And if they were to Google you, Seth, would they find your resume and all kinds of stuff about you?
Yes. I just put up a website. It's not very full yet. It's at sethcolton.com, and it talks about the things I'm producing and my acting and a link to my reel. So that would be at Seth Colton. It's SethColton.com.
SethColton.com, and go there and take a look at that website, and I'm going to do the same. And thank you, everybody, for listening this evening, and I know you got something that you resonated with out of this conversation. And, Seth, I want to thank you for making time for this. I want to thank you for the good work you're doing. I want to thank you for what's coming in your life, and I want to thank you for reaching for your greatness instead of shying away from it and stepping into it and sharing that with all of us, because that's why we're here. And I just want to invite everyone to stand up really tall, take a deep breath, and love yourselves. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So get into action and create the life that you love and will make a contribution to the world, which is why you're here. Good night, everybody, and thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Seth.
Thanks, Katie.
Bye.